It's time for our weekly roundup of the top stories in Wisconsin. This week, a lot of news on voter ID and the race for governor, as well as developments in the state's frac sand industry.
News guide Noah Ovshinsky joins us each Friday at this time. He's our assistant news director at WPR. Noah, welcome back.
It's good to be here. Thanks, Rob, and happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too. Well, not too many Fridays between now and Election Day, Noah, and all the Politico types are watching the Marquette University Law School poll. What's the latest?
Right. So this was just released a few days ago, and according to the poll, Governor Walker is leading Mary Burke by 5 percentage points among likely voters. You know, it remains a very tight race, but these latest numbers show the governor pulling slightly ahead. If you look at the last poll, which was released in mid-September, that had Walker leading Burke by 3% among likely voters.
And over the last couple of months, these polls have been really tight. This is one of the biggest margins I remember seeing in the last, I don't know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
Yeah, it is. And one of the really interesting things, certainly that I took away from this latest poll, is the huge gender gap that exists in this race. Walker's support among men is 62% and 34% among women. For Burke, it's the opposite, with 54% of women supporting her to Walker's 40%. So if you look at those numbers, if you break it down, at least according to the poll, you know, Walker's popularity among men has really helped him as far as his numbers are concerned.
And it'll be interesting to see how the candidates respond to that, if they're going to say, okay, let's run with the strength, or try to narrow some of those gaps in those their favor. Anything else stick out for you?
Yeah. You know, this poll also looked at those who identify as independents. And again, Walker seems to have an advantage here. He is leading Burke 53% to 40%. You compare that to the last poll and you see Walker gaining something around 3 percentage points.
Okay, moving on from the race for governor, let's turn to the attorney general's race. We talked to all three candidates now on the ballot. What did we learn in the poll about the two leading contenders?
Well, it showed the race for attorney general remains a very close one. Brad Schimmel leads Susan Happ 41% to 39%. That's within the margin of error. So at this point, you know, they're just about dead even.
Now, a lot of eyes on the governor's race here. What are people paying attention to this attorney general race? Do we know these guys?
Interestingly enough, no. The poll revealed something very interesting about whether or not people know these candidates. And I have to tell you, it's something that probably both campaigns should both welcome and fear. And that's that almost 1 in 5 likely voters were undecided in the attorney general's race. So wherever that group lands will help determine who wins in November.
Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of people not knowing, like Mary Burke, you've talked about, was at some months back. A lot of people don't know these candidates.
Exactly. I mean, her name recognition, she's been making some strides with that over the course of the last few months as she's traveled around the state and as her ads have aired on TV. But clearly in the attorney general's race, there's still a lot of people in Wisconsin who don't really know or know enough about these candidates to have an opinion.
They're not household names. If you want to get to know them, though, you can check out our candidate forums with them. Again, we talked to both the Democrat, the Republican, as well as the Libertarian candidate for attorney general. You can find those in our archives at WPR.org. And remember, WisconsinVote.org is a great place to go for election info as well. Sticking with the election, Noah, there's a steady drumbeat of news related to voter ID in Wisconsin.
Right. So the groups that are challenging Wisconsin's voter ID law asked the U.S. Supreme Court this week to get involved and stop the reinstatement of the law. The groups, including the ACLU, argue that it, quote, guarantees chaos at the polls, unquote. They note that Supreme Court precedent dictates that, you know, this type of ruling, you know, shouldn't have been made so close to an election.
And quick, bring us up to date on how this happened, why it's happened so close to the election.
Yeah, let's rewind just a bit. As just a quick refresher, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals last month effectively reinstated the voter ID law in Wisconsin, and that's why these groups would like it to be uninstated.
Uninstated? Sure, it is now.
They want it to be stopped, at least prior to this upcoming election.
They say maybe next year, but we're not ready this quick.
Exactly.
So the state, what are we hearing from them on this?
Yeah, so Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen issued a statement calling this motion disappointing. Van Hollen went on to basically say that, you know, if the ACLU was so concerned about voter confusion, you know, they wouldn't be asking the Supreme Court to change the rules so close to the election.
So it's arguing that it would be a double change and making it even more confusing. Well, do we know how many people this affects? Can we gauge our current confusion level?
To the extent that we can gauge the confusion level, if you look at actually the latest Marquette poll, which we were just talking about, 1 in 5 Wisconsin voters don't know they'll need to present a photo ID to vote next month. Charles Franklin, the man behind the poll we've talked a lot about, also found that about 1% of registered voters don't have the necessary ID. So if you do the math, that's something like 44,000 voters who don't have the right ID to vote in November.
Now, there's been a lot of talk about those people and whether there's going to be any kind of official state outreach to the people who don't know they need ID, the people who don't have ID. What do we know about where we stand on that?
Yeah, the answer is the state is going to do some outreach. The Government Accountability Board wants to spend something like $450,000 on an advertising campaign to get the word out about these voter ID requirements. They've asked the Joint Committee on Finance for the money. We'll find out next week if the request is approved.
So even though the legislature isn't in session, I gather that there's going to be some kind of meeting next week that we'll be checking out as that happens.
Yeah, exactly. The Joint Committee on Finance will meet, consider the JB's request, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Now, turning away from elections for just this moment here, we've been following the frac sand issue here in Wisconsin at Wisconsin Public Radio. What is the latest there?
Yeah. So Rich Kramer, our reporter in Eau Claire, had a story this past week, and he found that only 20% of frac sand mining operations in the state have actually been inspected by the DNR to make sure they're complying with their air pollution permits. If you break that number down, it means since July of last year, 29 out of around 135 active sand operations have had these full inspections.
So how many are they supposed to have regular inspections? And if so, why not?
Yeah, I mean, these compliance checks are supposed to be done every year. But because of this, really, the explosive growth in the industry, as we've talked about, the DNR really was only able to do full checks on individual facilities every other year, at least in the short term.
Oh, so the growth in the industry is outpacing the regulators here. How big a growth is that?
Well, frac sand operations, and when I say frac sand operations, I mean mines, processing centers, rail loading facilities, grew more than tenfold between 2010 and 2013.
Wow. So is there anything the state is doing to help out?
Yeah, the DNR asked for 2 more positions in the last budget, and they got them. Governor Walker told Rich just a few days ago that if the agency is having trouble keeping up, he would consider adding additional staff in the next budget.
Okay. You said use the phrase, I think, full checks. Does that mean if they're not getting those, they're getting nothing?
No, not necessarily. We're talking about these full compliance checks. And you know, there's a different kind of check, and we'll call them partial checks. And in this case, all of these facilities have had at least one partial compliance check.
Okay. And then another environmental business issue we've been tracking, I just want to get an update from you. We've talked about oil transport by rail recently on Central Time. There's an update on oil transport through Wisconsin by pipeline.
Yeah. Enbridge has plans to build a pretty long pipeline between North Dakota, ending in Superior, Wisconsin. It looks like they're going to delay that project by a year. Minnesota, which of course the pipeline will go through, they haven't really gotten through their permitting process yet. And they're also suggesting some alternative routes, which at least in one case would have this pipeline not ending in Wisconsin.
Okay. So there will be kind of a domino effect. We'll have to wait for regulations to make their way across the country to us before we know how this one's going to end.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, that's it for now. Noah, thanks as always for joining us.
It was good to be here. Thanks.
That was WPR Assistant News Director Noah Ovshinsky. He joins us each week at this time for a look at the top ongoing news stories of the week in Wisconsin.